Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Our text this morning will be in the book of Psalm. It'll be chapter 121. Chapter 120 through chapter 134. Relax, I'm not going to read all those in front of you this morning. But those chapters are considered to be a collection of, I guess in simple terms, a collection of one psalm. Because it's known as the song or the psalm of ascent. In other words, a going up. And these psalms, this collection, this ascent, is about God's people, Jewish people, making their way, for those who didn't live in Jerusalem, making their way to Jerusalem. And they say the ascent because they're going up to Jerusalem, because Jerusalem was on a hill. And the temple where they would come and they would worship in Jerusalem, the temple in Jerusalem on this physical hill, the temple also had steps. So there's this whole idea of going up to Jerusalem, going up to the temple, bringing our praise up to the Lord. So this whole idea for them. And so many of them had to make a pilgrimage from wherever they lived, okay? And this, you know this. This was not, you know, call your travel agent and book me a flight. This wasn't, let's go over and, you know, get the bus ticket. And this is where we're going. Take me, drop me off there. I want you to think about this. This loading up, packing up to make this pilgrimage, to make this journey. Listen, it is worse than packing for family vacation and you have a bunch of children. You don't just throw it all in there. You got to throw it in there with some kind of plan, because there's certain things you need to get to along the way, like diapers. Do not bury those somewhere in the trailer. You got to have certain things accessible. I mean, this was packing for a journey, and many of them with family and with clans and groups, and merging and meeting along the main road. And, you know, this was a journey for them. This wasn't, you know, having a meeting in downtown Sparta here and you live in town and you just kind of, you know, get in your vehicle and drive over and, you know, have a little road rage and I wanted that parking spot. This was like planning. This took work. This was bring extra sandals. This was a big deal. All to go up to worship the Lord in Jerusalem. You think it's tough getting ready for church on Sunday morning? To make your big pilgrimage over here to New Life? We had to come all the way from Viroqua. And we got two kids who can't totally take care of themselves. And I had to do it alone as a dad because my wife left early because she's leading worship this morning. Talking about Dusty and Chelsea. Elsie. I don't know, some of you just came from around town. Hard enough to get here. Oh, Lord, I just want to thank you that New Life, I know it's not healthy, but at least they have some things for the kids to have, some, you know, cookies and donuts for breakfast at church, because I don't have time or energy to be making a breakfast for everybody, and we live in town. Did you get up and make breakfast for your family this morning? No, I'm just asking. No, it's an acceptable answer. Who said? Oh, did you make breakfast? Or no, you didn't get to eat. Stand up. Oh, you poor skinny little thing. Oh, my goodness. Come on, people. Olivia, bless you, honey. I don't know if the camera got you from the back, but you can watch it online later this week. Oh, there I am. I remember having four small children and going to church. Now, most of the time, you know, my wife did most all of everything, taking care of us other five. But I remember when there was a period of time where I wasn't on staff at a church, that I was on staff at one of our universities, and I would travel and preach. And so there were times where I would be home on a Sunday. Three in diapers, okay, loading up. The only thing cool about this was there was a point in time where we at least got to travel to church in a, I'm trying to remember the year, I think it was a 1969 Ambassador, it's American Motors car. American who? Yeah, exactly. Bye-bye. American Motors car. It was a green station wagon with the wood panel down the side. The chrome luggage rack on top. Bought that, thought it'd be great for the family. I couldn't wait to sell that thing. Anyhow, if you get your pension from American Motors because you worked there many years ago, glad they lasted long enough for you to get a pension. Okay. Anyhow, I remember some of these mornings. Getting them dressed. And of course, three of them are girls. So this is not slap on some pants and a t-shirt. This is pretty dress. Hair's got to be done. I remember being in another place where, I don't know, Sue was gone. She didn't go away very often. She probably should have and wanted to, but anyhow, Brittany would come to church. I'd wet her hair down and brush it. Do you remember this? I'd just brush it all back. She had these real nice grooves from the brush going back in her hair. And poor child. Yeah, we had to have like little things in their hair and all the, you know, all this stuff. And now it's the challenge of making multiple trips from the house into the driveway where the chariot awaits them. I remember this stuff. Okay. All right, get you out, get you strapped in, hustle back in, grab another car seat, you know, all of this. Okay, you're ready, you can walk, let's get you in there. Boom, you know, all of these things. And you come back for the last car seat. You pick up that car seat. And you go, come on, right? We just went through all of this. You just went and you're going again. And being the kind parent I am, you know, we didn't make them sit in it. Who could take that? Winter, and you're driving to church with the windows down, you know, in the winter, Minnesota. It takes so much sometimes. Well, listen, they're making a pilgrimage where to go up to Jerusalem. You and I, we're just driving across town or past a couple towns just to get here to church. And some mornings, you fight hell to get here. You do. Spiritually, And it seems like he might be traveling with you because of all the things that went on that morning. Every fight, every squabble. I don't know, last night was a great evening. Oh, you guys all went to bed as a family and you're all happy and you had your pizza and it was good and you had fun and you laughed and you played a game with the kids and you're just expecting Sunday morning's going to be so great. And then you realize Saturday night is long gone. Sunday morning, and it's a fight, and it's a hassle. And she touched this, and who took my necklace? And I only have one earring. And I remember. Sue still goes through that every Sunday morning with me. No. Here they are. They're not just driving across town. They are making a pilgrimage. They are talking about days of travel. And now you have to understand where many of them travel, it's treacherous and it's dangerous. I want to read Psalm 121 to you. We're going to dive into it. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor will he sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. And I read that, and I know His word is true. But I don't know. Sometimes Sunday morning, it just doesn't seem like that's the case. And I'm not questioning His word. I'm just looking at the things that unfold in our life, in our spiritual journey. And it isn't just about coming to church. It's our spiritual journey every day, every week, every month, as the years go by. All the stuff that unfolds. Look at the stuff that unfolded in your life over the last few years. Look at for some things that have unfolded just this year, and we're only into the beginning of March. You read this psalm and you look at the song, you look at the two voices, the one who's made the journey sings. There's like two voices, and then the other voices, the priest singing back to them, and they sing to each other about the Lord, about who the Lord is and what He has the power to do and what He will do and the promise He makes. And somehow we live in a place where we read and believe and we know that it's true, but the things that unfold in our life, it makes us wonder. The journey, the pilgrimage. You know, it says here, he lifts up his eyes to the hills and he says, where does my help come from? You see, the hills, there was a physical piece to this, but also a spiritual piece. You know, it's the physical piece is, do you remember Psalm 23, where it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. It's this idea that we walk through this valley, and there's these high places on the sides, the mountain range. You understand, when they make their pilgrimage and they're physically walking with their family or whoever is with them, you know, you don't have the high ground there. You're in the valley, in the main road. It wasn't always on top. You didn't always have the high ground. And so what would happen on a regular basis is thieves and robbers and those who had evil intent, they would hide in the mountains. They would come down. They had the high ground. They could see you coming. And they pillage and plunder. And here you are trying to make your pilgrimage to go worship the Lord. and the onslaught of things that happen. So one of the reasons I'm thankful for Psalm 23 reminds us, as a message I preached a long time ago, that we have a shepherd who stands in the valley on our behalf. He'll lead you through. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy, and doesn't mean it's without challenge. It means that we have to be faithful and keep in step with him, be committed to trusting him. There's another part of this that is also a great spiritual dimension. You see, as they walk through these low places, up in the high places, you'll see throughout the Old Testament, when they refer to the high places, many of the high places had altars on them where idol worship and worshiping Baal. And I'm telling you, all kinds of pagan practices went on up there. Vile, vile, immoral things that would turn your stomach and mine this morning and be offended that it was even mentioned from the pulpit. That was all part of their worship to their deities, so-called. Their gods, the little g's. All the things they did, because they trusted and they thought that's where their help would come from. And here you are, making your trek through the low ground. There's all this spiritual activity and atmosphere and aura up through the mountains on each side where the pagans worship, where they look to for their spiritual guidance and help in life. Very quickly in verse 2, he answers his question. He sings it. Where's my help come from? Listen to this. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. You see, our help is so different. Our help comes from one who has all authority in heaven, on earth, under the earth. He has all authority. That's where our help comes from. Whether we're walking on the high ground or in between or through the valley, whether we feel we have the vantage point or we don't. You see, they would make this journey and this psalm and this collection of psalms, it would talk about reminding them what God has done, who God is, what he promises to be and to do on our behalf while we face the challenges of our spiritual journey, our daily life. It's amazing how our spiritual life is revealed in the moment where we feel contested by the little things of life that we would think God wouldn't have much interest in, like in a small argument with your child. Our help comes from the Lord. I want to remind you, I don't care what you're going through, your help and your journey, your help comes from the Lord God Almighty, who spoke creation into existence, that he has all authority and he has all power. That is where your help comes from. I don't care what our eye sees, and I don't care what we feel. You and I have to remember where our help comes from. Because you are on a journey. You are on your journey to worship the Lord every day. You're on your journey. Whether you leave your house or not, you are on a journey. A spiritual walk that affects how we live in the physical here. He is our help. I want you to remember Exodus 20. 10 Commandments. He commands, do not have any other gods before me. It's a commandment. Here's a question for us. Do we look to him first? You see, our God is so different. in Exodus, God, the living God was so different than all the foreign gods. And still today, the living God, your God, my God, the God, is so different than every other idol, philosophy, anything else that this world offers. And I don't care how sweet the article looks to you on the computer, and it says a few true things that warms your heart and that you agree with. Do we look to him first? Or do we look to some other place? Our God is so different than the deceptive deities and philosophies of this world. They tell you how to advance and get your own and take care of you and all that, you know, me, me, me. Our God, he came and he gave himself. He calls us to do the same. So different. The living God, he loves you. He will never deceive you. He will never rob you. He will never play a trick on you. The philosophy of this world, the other shoe will drop at some point. And it's going to leave you empty and cold and disappointed. Praying we come to our senses. I come to my senses so that we can turn to the living God, the maker of heaven and earth, the one who has the power to keep us. Listen, you know, fear is an interesting thing. When it comes to the things in this life and what we face, fear, anxiety, you know, a lot of times we fear because we look to other places for our answers. We'll look to other places for our answers first. Something happens. I got to figure this out. I have anxiety about it. I'm worried about it. I have fear about it. I can't eat, don't sleep, blah, blah, blah. Whatever the symptoms are of the fear that play in your life. And you come up with reasons why it's acceptable to be fearful. And you keep going over it. And you keep going over it. Until you get some answer from somebody, somewhere, or some article, or some book, or some opinion, or some post from whatever social media network, whatever that is that you're a part of. And I'm not criticizing it. I know that good things can happen there. But you're looking elsewhere, and nothing satisfied. Nothing brings the assurance, and you keep looking for answers. And the fear continues to come because we don't really look to the Lord. We don't look to him first. And yet we're on this spiritual journey. You know, I remember when Brittany was born. And it still happened with the other three afterwards, but not the same as that firstborn. We got her home, and I remember going over during nap time or at night, she was sleeping. You're at the front, so I just keep picking on you. But I'd do this. Is she breathing? Because she ain't moving. Is she breathing? Sorry, I may have knocked your water bottle over, but I won't step on your glasses. Not yet, yeah. You don't trust me, see? You've thrown them up here. But now you threw them right through the chairs. See, I would just, are you breathing? We just had puppies at our house, okay? Our two King Cavalier Spaniels, they got together. They did what God intended, and lo and behold, she gave birth. four puppies. Now, my wife, she doesn't have children at home anymore to check to see if they're breathing. But the old mama came out of Sue. Those puppies okay? Those puppies okay? That one's not moving. Randy, is that one okay? Now listen, we need to check on our children. We need to check on our puppies or our calves or whatever. It's a prudent man, the scripture says, a godly person takes care of the needs of their animal. So, you know, we want to be conscientious. But the, you know, the maternal part kicks up in her. And it comes with a little bit of, I would say, worry and anxiety. Now, she would say that's not the case. She's being conscientious, and I believe there's a balance between the two. But, you know, are those puppies okay? They can't be left alone. One of us has to be there because we have to sit and we have to watch them. Now, I'm overstating this a little bit. I'm having a little bit of fun. I'll probably pay for it later. Not really. She's so used to me from now on. But I'm thankful because there are times that in her concern, she's right. And something needs to be done. But I remember, but I have to come to a place. Not that it takes away our faithfulness and our effort and being diligent and being efficient. But there's a point that I have to come to grips with. I cannot control everything. Elbow the people near you. You can elbow her later. You tell her what I said. You and I cannot control everything. You can plan for the journey. You're going up to do a spiritual thing and worship the Lord, and you're going through treacherous places, and you plan the best you can to travel certain segments at day, stay other segments at night, and you got to protect yourself and provide for yourself. All of this, you plan for the weather. You do it all. But ultimately, you cannot control everything. So where is your help going to come from? Where's my help going to come from? Where do I look first? Because he has all authority and he has everything in his control. You go, oh, well, why am I having all this trouble? Why does evil seem to abound and break through sometimes in my life? Well, we're going to get there. Isaiah 43, part of verse 10 and verse 11, says, "Before me there were no gods, and since me there will never be another God. I alone am God." That plays into our life. Let me ask you something. When you face life, is God an afterthought? And if he's not, then why does fear and worry get the best of us? But these are my children. These are my children. These are my children. What's going to happen? And I don't, you know, I hope that we mature and we have appropriate concern, but I hope some of that goes away. I love my mother. She's here this morning. She's been a wonderful mother. And I'm glad she loves me and cares for me. But I'm going to be 61 years old in May. I know. From the back, I look older than that, I know. Up front, I look a lot older than that. Listen, here's the deal. We get home, and now Sue went to visit my parents. She drove there because she had to stop by the church and do some work yesterday. And I said, you know what? I'm going to walk from our place to my parents' place. Now, if you know where I live and you know where they live, you know that that's about a 20-mile walk. All uphill against the wind. I will tell you this, it's miles. And I said, I'm going to walk. I said, but please, do not leave there until I get there. You are my ride home, baby. Well, we got home, and my wife had some observations of my mother before I got there. And she understood that I'm walking there. She said, your mom got a little antsy. Every once in a while, she'd get up. She'd move, she'd go do something, she'd come back, whatever. And she was like, are you worried about Randy? Oh, no, 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 no. I'm 61 years old, I'm walking through Sparta. In daylight. Now, I know things can happen. I get it, a lot of things can happen. I'm 60, she's still worried about her little boy walking across town. Love my mother. But ultimately, her and I can't control everything. So where does our help and our peace come from when we're worried about stuff in this life or worried about the people we love the most? And if the people we love the most, what kind of example are we setting to them by our life of worry? That it is best to look elsewhere than trust God who has everything under his control. Is that the message you want to send your kids? Is that who's growing up in your house? Is that what you're going to, that's kind of grandparents you're going to be to your grandkids? Be concerned, do your part, plan for the pilgrimage. But ultimately, you cannot control everything. So how do you live at peace in all that this life you can face is because your help comes from the one who has all authority and all power. Verse 3 says that God will keep us and he doesn't slumber or sleep. He does not sleep, he does not slumber, he does not fall asleep on the job, regardless of you and I going, well, this just happened. Hello? Didn't you see this coming? Didn't you know this? Couldn't you prevent this? Couldn't you do it? Couldn't you? The interesting thing is about this no sleep and no slumber is you have to understand pagan worshipers, they all believed that their deity, their god, their idol, that they all went and had rest, that their god would go and sleep sometimes. Yeah. It's just this weird, just the deceptive. Who would believe in that? But us, humanity, broken, deceived. Look at the, some of the things we've done or believed or talked ourselves into. Whew. Woo-hoo. Listen, it's why 1 Kings 18, where Elijah is facing off with the priests of Baal. Who God answers by fire is the real God. And they're chanting and doing all their incantations and everything else. And Elijah starts taunting them and he says, hey, maybe your God's sleeping. He wasn't just making fun. It's that they believe there are times that their God and deity was sleeping. Our God never sleeps. He never slumbers. He's always watching. It says when he keeps us, this key will keep us. It means that he will guard. He will watch. And when it says watch, it doesn't mean he's a spectator. It means I am going to watch over you. It's the word watch there has to do with activity and involvement. I will watch, not spectate. I will watch. I will guard. I will deliver. That's what it means. As you face this life and all that goes on, listen, circumstances sometimes, they look worse. They don't seem to get better. And verse 8 comes along and says, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. He will keep, guard, deliver, watch over, all of that, active. And we think, I don't know, this stuff goes on. Maybe you only do like the really important things. Like the really big things, like when really big life-threatening news or accident comes into my life, then I can turn to you and I can pray to you and I will trust you. But all these other, maybe you just don't care about all these other circumstances that test and try us that maybe aren't life-threatening, but they sure mess up my life. It's sure inconvenient and it goes along with a lot of hurts and whatever else goes on, physically, emotionally, mentally, whatever it is. Let me ask you something. Now, I'm going to use a principle here. If we as fathers know how to do good things for our children, and we're flawed, and we still know how to do good things, how much more will our perfect Father in heaven do good things, right? You understand that? So, do you think the dad that is a surgeon, like complex stuff, surgeon, do you think as a dad he still takes band-aids and puts them on his little child's boo-boo owie? Do you think he does? Or does he say, no. If you need surgery, I'm your guy. But I don't do band-aids on your little owie because you fell outside. Of course, the surgeon is going to kneel and sit down with his child and talk baby talk. It's okay. I know you fell. It's all right. I know you, it's blood. It's okay. You don't have to keep screaming. I know you wish mommy was here instead. We're going to take a Band-Aid and we're just... It's okay. It's all right. We're going to put on gentle. You want to help me, right? Because you love your child. Do you think God only does surgery? And that he doesn't love you enough to be involved in the everyday drama of your life? Little baby boo-boo. Having to fit over something that isn't life-threatening, but he cares. You see, he will keep you, not just in the big stuff, but in all the little things along the way of your personal soap opera, so to speak, and mine. That's who he is, the God of all authority, who has everything in his control. He'll take time for your little daily events. It says that he will keep us from all evil. And you look around the world and you look at some things that have happened in your life because of evil. Well, and you think, huh, how's that fit? I want to remind you something. You ever read the book of Revelation? If not, you should. Because it says, whoever reads the book of this prophecy is blessed. That's one. The other is, you may not understand it all, but you will get this. That evil doesn't get the last word. Oh, right now I need to be a black preacher. I just did that. Doesn't evil get the last word? And they do, oh, they got it, man. They just got it. Why'd you make me white? I'm telling you, that's 20 minutes of hooting and hollering and shouting the truth of God, and the church would come alive. But you hired a white preacher, so I'm just telling you, evil doesn't get the last word. This trial and challenge and all the stuff you face, it doesn't get the last word. All the suffering, all the heartache, all the bad, danger, accidental trouble that you and I face, it doesn't get the final word. Here is the test. You ready? Here's the test. Will you and I let our evils, troubles, all the things that we experience or the fear that we have of the things that will never happen, will we allow those things? Will we allow those things to cause us to abandon where our help comes from and abandon our purpose in this life? Does our trials and tribulation, does it allow us to all of a sudden abandon our purpose because, man, all this bad stuff's happened? And it just takes us right out of commission. We abandon our purpose to be a godly man. We abandon our purpose to be a godly woman. We abandon our purpose to be the spouse that we should be, the parent we should be, the faithful brother and sister in Christ we should be, the minister he's called us to. Oh, all this stuff is unfolded and we just abandon our purpose. Well, because I wasn't fulfilled and, you know, all this stuff. Is that what we do? Do we allow these things because we looked elsewhere for our help and we didn't get it? And then you throw up a few prayers and God didn't seem to answer the way you want. And here you are, I'm just trying to make my journey. And the troubles of this life cause us to abandon or give up on our purpose. See, full control. Your full control. Everything is out of reach. We do the best we can out of faithfulness. And at that point, at the end of ourself, where's your help going to come from? And people can help and they can contribute, but they will never be the full answer. And then you can be mad at them and disappointed at them or whatever else, but you're looking elsewhere. Where does your help come from? You can't control anything. You can't control everything. And you're on this journey to worship the Lord and follow Him. But the things of this life, they just entangle us. And we let it. You say what you want. We let it happen. We make decisions. It entangles us. He knows that we need His help. I need His help. Full control is always out of reach. But what we can control, listen to this. This is what we can't control. Where we choose to get our help from. Why don't you stand to your feet? I don't know what you're facing today. Some of you I know a little bit, but I don't know the full story, the full backdrop and all the things going on inside as you deal with what you're dealing with. I don't know, for you, maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's a relationship that's you have going on and you cannot control them. You can help, you can hinder. You can encourage, you can criticize. Only the Lord can help. Only the Lord can thoroughly fix. Where's your help going to come from? You think you can fix this man all on your own? Not that you need fixing. You think you can fix her all on your own? And of course, you're close to perfect, so, you know, whatever. You think you can deal with your circumstance all on your own? You think you got it all figured out? Think you can fix it? Where's your help come from? Because you're going to fall short. And you're going to fall short. I'm going to fall short. Darren, you're wonderful.
Thank you.
But you're still going to fall short. Because your strength will only go so far. Your wisdom will only go so far. Your patience only goes so far. Family saying amen behind you. Don't look at them. Even your love will only go so far. But the need is greater. So what makes up the difference between your limitation, my limitation, and the need? What about when your wisdom and intelligence runs out and yet it doesn't fully bring the answer? What's going to make up the difference? Where's your help? Yeah. Jen Carey, you got beautiful daughters. I believe they're very smart. But your arm only reaches so long. And I want you to know that they're gonna step outside your house. And you can't see them. And you can't reach them. And they're thanking God for that, by the way. To some degree. You love them. At some point between where your reach stops and where they are, what's going to make the difference? Where's your help going to come from? Where's your help going to come from? Sorry. Where's your help going to come from? Quick Google. Siri, who's going to watch over my kids when I can't see them? Siri, what do parents do when the kids, they're, you know, outside, or blah, blah, blah. Where's your help going to come from? I don't know what to do in this situation, God. I've tried everything. And he says, oh, so I'm last choice? Is he an afterthought? Or is he your first thought? He will make up the difference between where we can reach compared to where the answer is. So trust him. Trust him. Trust him. Do your part. Don't do nothing. Well, Lord, I'm just supposed to trust you. No, don't tempt him. Don't presume. We do our part that's faithful in response to what we know to do and what he tells us. We got to trust him. And if it shouldn't work out like you thought or like you think he promised you, remember this. Evil does not get the last word. He will make everything right. He'll make it right. Why did my child die? Why did my parent die? Why? Were you sleeping? I'm now in a wheelchair. Or I can't do this. Lord. He has the power to keep, and those things will not have the last word. Death does not have the last word. He's the resurrection and the life. He rose from the dead, and he's made a way for you and I. And don't cause the things of this life to make you abandon your purpose. Your purpose. Your purpose. Well, keep your head up. Don't give up. It's so hard. Yes! It's hard. And there's some things that I would like answers for that I don't have answers for. But it's not going to make me change my mind. With God's help, it's not going to make me change my mind or abandon my faith or his purpose for me. Because I know these things do not get the last word. Sharon, Andy passed. But that's not the last word. It's not the last word. I want to see that old boy. Because I know he ain't going to be walking like this no more. That leg of his didn't get the last word. Your trouble does not get the last word. So go up. Ascend to the hill of the Lord. Whether you have to go through a valley first or whatever trouble, ascend the hill of the Lord. Where does my help come from? The maker of heaven and earth. God bless you. May his spirit infuse you today and fill you. May you and I abandon the flesh and sow to the spirit. And when you walk out of this place and boom, a challenge comes right away, or you're walking back into the problem you left outside in the parking lot, you've been infused. You've been indwelled. Walk in his power. And you remember that evil and these things do not get the last word. Do not abandon your purpose, for he will keep you. Be blessed, and may God's peace go with you. May it be yours.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.